Mitch from the World Council of Credit Unions. How's it going, Brian?
It's going great. Here, good. Early Monday morning.
It is an early Monday morning. The sun is out. It's almost kind of like a springish day. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Well, I mean, what's new with what's new in the world of credit unions today, literally?
You know, credit unions are growing like crazy.
Yeah.
And it's exciting for us to see. And you know, everywhere we go, we see great confidence in credit unions,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Some places credit unions are having to up their game because they're having such a influx of new members,
mm-hmm,
with high expectations,
mm-hmm,
and so a lot of countries are working with credit unions to help them put in place shared platforms so they can improve their efficiencies.
Oh, good idea!
And have shared platforms to be able to offer the mobile and the online channels that,
okay,
consumers are demanding.
Right on, right on. And so, you took a number of trips, as you always do every year. Your frequent flyer mileage must be in the millions. But one of the big trips that you took last year was Cuba. So what is the status there? Because I think I talked to you before,
yes,
Cuba. So
sure.
What's going on there right now?
So we've been into Cuba a couple times now,
mm-hmm,
and had a number of discussions with the central bank and the Ministry of Finance and the foreign ministry. And so they very much like the idea of credit unions. They like the cooperative structure.
Mm-hmm.
They like the values.
Mm-hmm.
They like the equal treatment of members, the principles,
mm-hmm,
that... But they're not ready to let go of state control of the financial sector. And
okay,
they say, you know, for reasons of national security, only the state can provide financial services. So, you know, we're working with them over time. They said, well, can you come and share with our state banks some of the principles that credit unions work,
mm-hmm,
with, the services they offer to,
mm-hmm,
They wanted to know, well, what are credit unions doing for small businesses in the United States?
Right.
And they were fascinated to hear about that.
Oh, cool.
And fascinated to hear about how... When the large banks stepped back from that space in the United States, the credit unions stepped in, and it was just a natural source of growth,
mm-hmm,
for credit unions.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we've talked to folks at the Cuban Embassy here in Washington, and they're very cautious about opening up, but a lot of interest in credit unions as an alternative model,
mm-hmm,
for some time in the future.
So the progress? I mean, it sounds like it's baby steps,
slow,
obviously. Yeah.
You know, it'll take some time.
Yeah.
Then, you know, it'll take some time for them to get used to us. And it'll take some time for us to figure out how things work in Cuba. And you know, we visit with some micro-entrepreneurs, some people that have set out on their own with setting up private enterprise,
mm-hmm,
and some of the cooperatives, the agricultural cooperatives, the non-ag,
mm-hmm,
cooperatives. And the government's objective in Cuba is to move 30% of the state employees into the non-state sector. So that would be the cooperatives,
mm-hmm,
and the private enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
But these people are telling us it's very difficult for them to get financial services, to access loans.
Yeah.
They set up a small business and they have old equipment that is donated to them by the previous state enterprises,
mm-hmm,
and it wears out. It's old,
yeah,
and it needs to be recapitalized. But they find it difficult to access financial services. So frankly, the irony is we see that those businesses that are growing and becoming stronger are the ones that have family in Miami. And they're getting remittances from Miami, growing, whereas those who don't have those family connections are really struggling. And it's starting to create different tiers, different classes within the economic sector.
Oh my gosh, how interesting that is. Oh my, and
absolutely,
it sounds like a natural fit for Creighton's to go down there and kind of fill that gap.
We think so too.
Yeah.
So,
but it's just going to take time.
And it's going to take a sale. It's going to take some time of,
yeah,
the Cuban government gaining confidence it'll happen over time.
Okay, well, sounds like a few more trips down there.
Absolutely.
A few more trips. All right, the World Council Credit Union Conference is in Ireland this year. Very exciting. What's in store for attendees? I mean, that's a very cool place to go, just plain and simple.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Irish are very excited about telling their story.
Mm-hmm.
And Belfast, we all remember, is a place of conflict.
Oh, yeah.
And a place of peacemaking. And so the Irish really want to tell their story about how they came together, they overcame their conflict,
mm-hmm,
dialogue for change,
mm-hmm,
which is driving their credit union industry today.
Mm-hmm.
And so they make the analogy back to the peace process. And some of those peacemakers, folks that were involved in negotiating the peace and received Nobel Prizes,
mm-hmm,
will be there on stage with us and tell their story about that process.
Yeah, just such a great place, such a great, beautiful place. And speaking of conferences, what are your goals here? I mean, obviously you're here, expand your presence, your exposure, all that type of stuff. What are you looking for here? What are your goals,
mm-hmm,
for this show?
Well, you know, we get we have so much support from the U.S. credit union system that this is an opportunity for us to come and visit with everyone. Everyone's in one place and to show our appreciation. And so every year we invite our supporters to the embassy. And this year we were at the French embassy last night.
Oh, cool.
And a very large, beautiful venue. And it's a chance early on in the conference. People have just arrived. And it's a chance for everyone to catch up with each other and to network.
Right on.
And, you know, we provide a lot of information to CUNA about what's happening internationally. We met with the World Affairs Committee yesterday and gave them an overview of those, you know, the international standard-setting bodies, the Basel Committee, the Financial Action Task Force. They set out a number of the standards which then national governments apply into legislation and regulation in their own countries. And so part of our work is to interface with those institutions. As they're issuing standards, we want to make sure that we respond to them very early on and say, these are the impact that the standards you're talking about will have on credit unions, smaller community financial institutions, mutual institutions. And so very often we find they're willing to rethink those, adjust the language. So in many cases, we can avoid something that would be damaging for credit unions, or we can mitigate that damage and weaken it. And so this is a chance for us to brief CUNA and the credit unions that are involved in the World Affairs Committee on what kinds of things have been discussed and what we've been able to address and what is going to filter down to the U.S. Treasury or NCUA and so that the U.S. can be prepared to respond to those when they start to appear.
You're going to be a busy man at this show. Busy, busy.
Yeah,
but it's all good.
It's all good.
It's all good. All right, wrap-up question for you here, Brian. What do you see in 2016? Obviously, you're going to be super busy traveling the world as usual, but what do you see? We were just talking about Cuba and the baby steps. What else do you foresee in 2016 on a global scale for credit unions?
Well, you know, we're working with a number of other countries, and since the revolution in Maidan Square in Ukraine, we've been in and out of Ukraine several times. Last year, we went into Ukraine early on and spent time with the credit unions. To give them a sense of international support to help them. Spent some time with their policymakers last December. I'm going to Ukraine next week. And again, what we're trying to do is pull the credit unions together so they have one voice and speak as a group to the government, which is in the process of establishing a new legislative regulatory framework for the credit unions. Because frankly, everyone else is pulled out of the rural areas and conflict areas in Ukraine. It's just too dangerous. The credit unions are community institutions, and they're still there. They have to be there. And so the farmers are telling the credit unions, no one else is providing financing for our crops. Can you help us do that? The small businesses are saying, well, we need finance to keep people employed, and everyone else is pulled out. Can you do that? So we're helping the credit unions in Ukraine learn how to go from very standard vanilla consumer lending to now how they finance agriculture producers for their crops and how they finance small businesses. And, you know, it makes a tremendous difference in those communities in this kind of civil conflict.
Wow. I mean, I love to hear stories like that, you know, in the grass or in the throes of conflict, you know, credit unions are standing pat and helping out.
That's
because somebody needs to stand in there. Life goes on.
That's right, And we've seen this in so many different countries where you've had conflict. People still have to feed their families and provide for their economic well-being, and credit unions are still there, and it may reduce the level of operation that they can operate with. They're working with much smaller amounts, and yet these are part of the fabric that holds society together.
Indeed, good message to end on. Brian, always a pleasure. Thanks, Mike, so much.
It's great being
and
here.
If anybody needs the safe travels saying, you, my friend, need the safe travels because you are everywhere.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for taking time out to chat with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.